Morning. Today's Bible reading comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is the word of God.
Before we look at the passage, I'd just like to invite Matt up. I hear from Matt that there's something known as KIC that's going to happen. Matt, what is KIC?
Right, you're absolutely right, John. There is a camp called KIC this year, and it's a camp that KCC holds annually. It's designed for high schoolers, so if you're in year 7 to 12, this is the perfect camp for you. And it's a weekend where, you know, youth get the opportunity to hear really good life-changing Bible talks, go to really youth-relevant seminars, and just spend a really good amount of quality time with people within the youth group and adjust this fellowship and get to know each other.
Are there dates? Like, when is it on?
Yeah, so there are dates on which we will be going. It will be the second weekend of the first school holiday. So that'll be the 10th to 12th of April. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah,
great, cool. Anything else?
And if they want to grab a form or anything, they'll come and see you?
Yeah, so I've got heaps of forms. So if you've got friends, nephews, nieces as well, that's also okay.
You're a bit young for
nephews. Yeah, well, maybe if you're a bit older and you've got friends or family that are in the right age group, it's not just for people in LIC, we're just going as a youth group, but feel free to bring your friends, feel free to bring your nieces and nephews. And if you're going overseas and you can't get a form or you can't bring it back to me in time, no worries, you can always send me an email and I can send you a soft copy and we can figure something out.
Thanks, Matt. That's great. Thank you. Cool. Being the start of the year, I wanted to encourage you all to, in your quiet times, daily devotion, and getting to know, the goal is getting to know God. And God made the universe, and if you look at the stars, and if you study the solar system, it's huge, isn't it? There's such diversity, there's such color, there's such beauty. The heavens declare how glorious God is. So as we look at the universe, as we look at creation, it's telling us what God is like. God is glorious. He's gloriously wise to make all these things work. He's gloriously beautiful because nature is beautiful. Don't you love the blue sky? I love the blue sky. And it tells us a lot about God, but this revelation is very general. It's not personal, as in it's not specific to tell us details about God. And these details come to us as we read the Bible, where God reveals himself, what he is like, who he is like, and how he deals with human beings. So for us to get to know God, we have to spend time reading his word, to listen to him, and at the same time to talk to him, because God is a person and we can only have a relationship when we communicate. Imagine if you both sit and stare at each other. Now that's maybe a bit of non-verbal communication happening, but there could be a lot of room for misinterpretation if you look funny and they interpret that wrongly. So we need to speak to God And we need to listen to God. So I've been encouraging y'all to grab a Bible reading plan and to read and listen to God. Today I want to encourage y'all to talk to God. So to encourage, it's an encouragement to pray. Pray is talking to God. And so I'd like to look at that topic. So it's not really a sermon. It's more an encouragement. So let's pray and I will speak about this. Father, we can't see you, Lord, and so we struggle to pray to you. Lord, we ask that you would help us, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would thrill our hearts because you are glorious, that like the deer that pants, that we will come for more of you, Lord, because we have tasted and we have seen that you are good. Father, we can't do that, Lord. We ask for your Spirit to draw us, Lord. For your Spirit to thrill our hearts, for your Spirit to give us a glimpse of your glory, that we can be attracted, that we can be drawn to you more today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I find prayer difficult. Prayer is hard, isn't it? Imagine if you're calling someone on the phone and you say, "Hello, my name is John," and the other person doesn't say anything. Like, where does the conversation go? And sometimes prayer feels like that, because you're talking to God, and God is a spirit being. You can't see Him. And, it's difficult, isn't it, prayer sometimes. So I want to talk about some things that can be why prayer is difficult, and then go on to encourage us to pray, because it is through our praying, through our talking to God, that we get to know this glorious God. So one of the things I find difficult is I get discouraged. I've been praying for my non-Christian relatives since I became a Christian. So about for 20 years I've been praying for them, on and off, different days, different weeks, different things happen. You pray more, sometimes you forget, you pray less. But over the years, I've been praying for them, and nothing I can see has happened. Like, I'm praying, "Lord, let them become a Christian." So I'm results oriented. I want to see that happen. But I've been praying for 20 years, and that hasn't happened. So we can get discouraged, isn't it, when we pray. I think that's one of the difficulties. When we don't see the answer to our prayers immediately, straight away, we can get discouraged. And Jesus knows that we can get discouraged. And he told a parable in Luke 18. He told this parable because it's easy to get discouraged. He said we should be like a persistent widow who keeps asking for what she wants. And Jesus said that we, his people, should keep asking, even when we don't see the result yet. Keep asking and don't give up. So that's the first thing, to keep praying, even when we don't see the answer, even when we're discouraged. The next thing that can be difficult in prayer is unbelief. Sometimes we are praying for things that are happening in France. We are praying for people that we haven't seen, missionaries out in the field. We're praying for Muslims in the Middle East. It seems so far away, so remote, and we don't know how our prayers are making a difference, making an impact. And so we can doubt that our prayers, is it really meaningful? Am I wasting my time talking to air? Sometimes it feels like that. But what does God tell us? Jesus in Matthew 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given." That means he's saying that our prayers, there's a connection between us asking and us receiving. Our prayers, every single prayer is heard by God. Every time we open our mouth and we speak to God, God hears us. So even if we don't see the result, even if it's for people in far off places, God hears every single prayer that we pray. God in his love hears us. God in his power can change things. And yet God in His wisdom acts sometimes in ways that are different to our ways. Like for me, I put my food when it's cold, I put it in the microwave oven, click 1 minute, it zaps, I know it's hot, I eat it. But prayer sometimes doesn't have that same immediacy. It's like so drawn out, so long term. The food, you can't see it, and sometimes it's like that in prayer, isn't it? So trust God even when you can't work it out. So the third thing, the third hindrance to prayer is a bit of mystery. There's a bit of mystery. Like for me, I'm more I want to say that, okay, if I pray for 10 minutes, I get 10 minutes of results. If I go to the gym, I don't go to the gym, but say, hypothetically, if I go to the gym and I work out, I want to see the biceps. You know, you want to see the results. But prayer is not like that. It's a bit of a mystery. Sometimes you don't see the results that you want to see. And so you can get discouraged and you think, oh, what's happening here? And, oh, is this really making a difference? And then sometimes you get a glimpse of God at work. And then you think, yes, God heard my prayers. Sometimes He hears your prayers and the answer comes in a different, it's different from what you imagine. But these glimpses, I believe, are what encourage us to keep praying. These glimpses help us to see that it's not in vain, that God does hear every single prayer that we pray. So prayer is not like math, it's not a formula. Because we are relating, prayer, at the heart of prayer is a relationship. So you've got friends, isn't it? I hope you've got friends. And so when you talk to different friends, they're all different, isn't it? When you talk to one person and another person, they're all different, they're all quirky in their own ways, and some are eccentric in their own way. So it's personal, and so in the same way, our relationship with God is personal. Each one of us, God has made different. And so when we relate to God, we need to relate to Him as persons. God is a person, we are persons. So bring our individual personality, the way that you relate to God, and bring that into your relationship. I like singing. So sometimes I take the guitar and I sing to God. Some of you might like walking somewhere and go for a walk and talk to God. However it expresses your individuality with God, you're building a relationship. And so it's like that. Paul's prayer life, we get an insight into Paul's prayer life in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what this is. It could have been a sickness, an ailment, something he struggled with. And he prayed. He said, Lord, I don't want this thorn in the flesh. He was honest. He's not saying, I'm a martyr, let me suffer. No, he said, I don't want this. This is painful. This is difficult. I don't want this. He prayed. He talked to God. He said, I don't want this. And then, silence. What does he do? He learned to keep praying. He prayed again, Lord, I don't want this. Again, silence. The Bible says he prayed three times, Lord, I don't want this. And then finally, God spoke to him and he said that, and he learned that his pride was a bigger problem than this thorn in the flesh. So his prayer was, get rid of this thorn. But God in his wisdom and his love said, this thorn is actually good for you because you have a problem with pride, which is a bigger problem than this thorn in the flesh. So there's a bit of mystery in prayer, isn't it? But as you keep praying, as you keep talking to God, different things come up, different things get sorted. So Paul learned how to keep praying when God was silent. Paul learned to persevere in prayer when God was silent. Paul learned to trust God even in the silence. Then Paul learned that God was more interested in his character than in his comfort. That God was dealing with his pride And this thorn in the flesh was a way for him to experience grace. It was a way for him to keep asking God to experience His grace, because His grace will be sufficient in his weakness. So when you are faced in this mystery of prayer, what do? We deal with God, we engage with God, we relate to God, and we give ourselves over to God. We say, Lord, I trust you, even though, man, that wouldn't have been the answer I wanted. And if I were God, I would end all the suffering, as John Dixon's book says. Or we might think that God won't hear me. You might think that I'm just in high school, I'm year 6 or year 7. I'm too small. God hears the big guys. Or you might think, Pastor John, he looks so spiritual, so religious. Maybe Pastor John prays God, he has a special VIP card which he can take out and flash. But this verse is saying that God hears everyone. God hears you. Isn't that an encouragement? Jesus is encouraging us to pray to this verse. He's saying, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. See, prayer is not restricted to certain important people or more religious, holy kind of people. Prayer is for all of us. Because in prayer, we learn to get to know God. We learn to develop our relationship with God. But there's an implication, isn't it? If it's saying ask and it will be given to you, the implication is if you don't ask, then we are not engaging, we won't receive. I was speaking to someone last week and they were saying that God in his sovereignty, oh, God's going to do it anyway, so why bother to pray? But that's not right. This verse is saying, ask and you will receive. So the implication is if you don't ask, you won't receive. Yes, God is sovereign and he can give you good things anyway, that's true. But this verse is saying that you ask and you will receive. We mustn't reduce what one passage says because of what some other passage says. Okay, so don't feel sitting there that, oh, I've got to be mature, or I've got to be more religious, I've got to be more holy. It's nothing like that. In fact, if you read the next verse, it's more shocking. It says this, or which one of you, if his son asks him for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil, imagine if you tell the person next to you, you are an evil person. We don't really talk like that, do we? I was talking to someone on the phone, he said, you're good, very good. You're so good. I said, there's no one good. But we kind of talk like that, isn't it? Yeah. The Bible assumes that no one is good. The Bible assumes that we are evil. Such a shocking word, isn't it? Such a shocking word that we are evil. Man, don't talk about it. But it assumes that. And if it's saying that if our earthly parents who are evil, imagine you go back and tell your mom, the Bible says you are evil. Like, whoa, don't go to that church. Who said that, Pastor John? Anyway, don't have this conversation at home. That's for you all to hear. Anyway, so it's assuming that we are not good. And it's saying that even though we're not good, we still know how to give good things to our kids. How much more God, a perfect father, knows how to give good gifts to his children. So Jesus is encouraging us to come to him in prayer, to talk to him, because he is a really, 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 really good dad. So come to God and ask him. Sometimes I think in prayer we might think you have to pray correctly. That's the other thing we might think, that if I don't pray with the right words, if I don't ask for the right things, God won't hear me. But that's not true as well. I love the word, this book, Paul Miller. I've been reading this book called A Praying Life. And if you want a book that will encourage you to pray, this is a great book. He says, come messy. I like that phrase, come messy. He talks about little kids. Little kids have runny noses. Little kids come, like their clothes are always dirty. Parents have to keep on throwing things in the washing machine because little kids. And he says, Jesus said, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to be like a little child. You've got to come like a little child. Come messy. So that means when you come to pray, don't feel like you've got to have life together. Don't feel like you've got to be perfect, saintly, godly. We are evil folks, so we can come as we are, and we can just talk to God about all the issues. Lord, that person in school is such a, he's no fun to be with. How about that? Yeah. Talk to God like naturally. Sometimes what happens when we talk to our friends, we talk a certain way, and then when we talk to God, we say, Father, we kind of change our tone and our language, like, what happened there? Like, you know, come as we are. We are personal beings relating to a personal God, so we come as we are and talk to Him as we are. He gives this example. When you come to prayer, you want to pray for 1, 2, 3 things that you want to pray, but your mind goes to your homework, let's say. Or your mind goes to some difficult relationship. What he encourages is, pray about the thing that's distracting you. Use your distraction. Use your overwhelmedness about life and pray about that. Pray about wherever your mind is wandering. You've got clothes to wash. Pray about that. You've got issues at work with a colleague. Pray about that. See, we come to God, God doesn't hear us because we pray correctly. He hears us because of Jesus, because Jesus has made us acceptable God. Maybe you don't even have any desire to pray. Pray about that. Lord, I'd really rather be gaming at the moment, which is more exciting. But Pastor John said that you are more exciting. Please show me why he says you're more exciting. Pray about that. So come messy. You don't have to clean up your act before you come to God. Just tell God where you are and what's on your mind. What's on your mind? Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God said, cast all your cares on me, because I care for you. Isn't that a nice invitation? Come to God with all your cares. God wants us to relate to Him like a little child. Paul Miller, in that book, he gives this example. His son John, nice name. His son John was 6 months old. The son was 6 months old. And he stuck his hand in the general direction of butter. He's 6 months old. And he says, boo-boo, boo-boo. So what did the parents do? The parents didn't turn around and say, John, say please. John, it's not boo-boo, it's B-U-T-T-E-R. They're not correcting the poor child, isn't it? Or they didn't say, now that's a bit selfish, asking things for yourself, like butter. They were overjoyed and they went and they gave him butter. God wants us to come as we are and ask Him for the things on our heart and mind. He's not there to correct our prayers as if, we've got to pray in a certain way or pray right. If we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will God, our Heavenly Father, give us good gifts when we ask Him. So come, messy. Our prayers might be flawed, but God is a good God, and He will give us what we need. So come, messy. The next thing is come, helpless. Sometimes we don't pray because we can sort out our own problems. And that's fine, I guess, if you can sort it out, why not sort it out? But sometimes we sort it out in the wrong way. We think it's the solution is throwing more money or working harder or planning better. So we solve it in our human strength, with our own human strategies. And God wants us to come to Him for everything. See, little children, they come to their parents because they have no money and they're not clever enough to solve their own problems. And Jesus says, come to Him like that. Come to Him realizing that I am limited, that I don't have enough resources, I'm helpless to do life on my own. Come helpless. So prayer mirrors the gospel, because the gospel says the same thing. The gospel says we cannot save ourselves. The answer is outside us. We are completely helpless. So when we pray, we recognize that we can't solve our own problems, and so we look to God for help. Apart from me, you can do nothing, says Jesus. I just want to read you an example from this book. And it's a good book if you like a book on prayer. A Praying Life by John Miller. His daughter Kim has got autism. Page 60, autism. So let me read. Not long ago, Kim started pacing again, walking up and down in the early morning hours. So I started to get out of bed. Jill, his wife, was half asleep. Are you going to yell at Kim? I said, no, that hasn't worked for 10 years. So I thought, I'll pray with her. Jill started laughing. What do you mean 10 years? It's been 20. So I went up to Kim's bed, aware that absolutely nothing I could say would stop her pacing. I went quietly over to her bed. I laid my hand on her covers. She was pretending to be asleep. And I asked the Holy Spirit to quiet her. God heard our prayer. She fell asleep and didn't go back to her pacing that morning. As soon as I started praying, a thought came completely from left field. I had underestimated Kim's ability to pray on her own, to connect with God. My view of her had been too narrow. In this area of her life, I looked at her as a disabled person and not as a young woman made in the image of God, able to communicate with her Heavenly Father. It created a new expectation in my heart for her, a new hope that she can grow spiritually. When she bites her wrist, I can pray with her about it. When I rub oil on her callous wrist, I can pray with her. Instead of fighting Kim's problems with anger, I can focus on a new vision of her learning to pray. But Kim continued to pace. About every other time, I drag myself out of bed and pray with her. Then 4 months later, we moved and her pacing stopped. We knew Kim was super sensitive to noise because of her autism, but we hadn't realized how the diesel trucks at the factory across the street from our old house and the road noise itself were waking her up. Our new house is set back from the road and much quieter. God answered my prayer for Kim. So all the themes of good praying are hidden in the story of praying for Kim. Helplessness, relationship, repentance, asking, story, and hope. When you open a door to God, you find some amazing treasures inside. So there's a bit of mystery involved in prayer. But it is an encouragement that God does hear every single prayer that we pray. How about let's spend a couple of minutes, talk to God with whatever is on your mind. Whatever is on your mind, talk to God about that. How about I'll pray together? Father, we come to you, Lord, as your people. Please help us to engage with you. Help us, Lord, to get to know you better. And Father, times when we have no desire or when we don't know what to say, Lord, you said that your Spirit would help us. So we pray, Father, this week, that you would give us the desire to talk to you. And we pray, Lord, that help us to trust you in the mystery of our relationship with you. Lord, help us to trust, Lord, when we can't see answers. Help us not to give up, to get discouraged. Lord, we bring before you all our needs, Lord. We pray for those who are struggling with sickness, those who are struggling with anxiety and doubt. Father, we pray that you would draw near and give help, heal, meet needs, or give strength to persevere. Lord, we look to you because you are a great God and we are your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.